Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Kaylin Patterson, P4P Real Talk, Midwest Muffo in the house. That P4P belt. Yeah. And this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world, and an overall winner in bikini. Oh, yeah. How about that? And if you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals, like our guest on the road. Like what, Des?
Like a Mack truck through ice cream.
I tell you what. Check us out at P4P Muscle.
I tell you what.
And now let's talk. How you doing, Des?
Let us talk. I am great. It's a little blustery and cold out, but I am great. I can't complain. You know, we're in the middle of winter. This is what we get. But I hear there are other states that don't normally get snow that have more snow than what we've been getting in Iowa, which I think is absolutely crazy. Crazy. But other than that, I'm great. How are you?
Like a box of weather. You never know what you're going to get.
Like a Mack truck through ice cream.
I'll tell you what there, partner.
I tell you what. All right, guys. So yeah, that's a little bit of what we got going on this fine Thursday evening. Welcome to P4P Real Talk. So if you were with us on Tuesday, we had JB, a.k.a. Joseph Bolton, Jayzilla, one-third of the trio that make up P4P Muscle, and he was on dropping more mic drops for P4P Undefeated Natural Bodybuilding Championship coming up August 11th, 2018. We can finally say 2018 this year because we've been talking about this show for a while now. They've just been leaking a little bit of information at a time, a little bit here, a little bit here. And now we are just a mere 8 months away, and just more and more great stuff is coming out. So, Kaylin, why don't you help start a recap of, I mean, I think there are really two big announcements that came out of Tuesday's show, and I've been talking about it a little bit on social media. If you've seen any of my Facebook posts, you already know what they are, but if you haven't, we're going to break it down for you tonight. So let's start with Kaylin, the free ride.
No, we got to do ladies first. We have to do ladies first. DMC.
So do you want me?
Yes, Desiree DMC. Big mic drop on that one. We need a new floor and a new mic because everything just broke and busted wide open when they gave that information out there. So why don't you start opening with that there right there?
All right there. That right there. So what Kaylin was talking about is I get to be the MC for P4P Undefeated, and who is more excited than I am about that? Nobody. they've got just killer entertainment. It's going to be like, you're going to be at like a dine-in movie theater almost. You know those movie theaters where you can go and you sit at a table and you order your food and then you watch the movie? That's kind of like the atmosphere that's going to be going on at Ho-Chunk Casino in Wisconsin Dells. But I just like saying that, Ho-Chunk. But yeah, and they've got a hype man and just some great entertainment, and it is just going to be nonstop energy surrounding the competitors, which will also be nonstop energy, and I am just super excited. I'm like, dude, I've got to sign like the swankiest MC Hostess with the mostest outfit that I can find just for this show. I'm going to be shopping for months. So, hey, if anybody's got any recommendations on what you think good attire would be, you know what? Drop me a photo at Desiree Fletcher Carruthers on Facebook or Midwest Muscle. Just drop a photo and say, hey, Des, this could be a killer outfit for your gig emceeing P4P Undefeated. I'm open because I am not a shopper. Believe it or not, not a shopper. I need Like, you know those personal assistants out there that do the shopping that have fashion sense, that are fashionistas? I need one of those because that is not me. But anyway, I digress because we have an awesome guest and we've got some more updates to get to, so we're going to keep this moving along. Kaylin, free ride, lay it on us.
Yes, I'm really excited about this one because that, he was throwing stuff out there that was just so big, and he was just like, you know, this is something else we thought of. This is something else we thought of. So it's just crazy that he forgot to put that on there. But with the free ride, everything else that he brought out about that, they also get their image on one of the supplement products from P4P. Come on.
Yes.
Seriously? We don't
even
have
that. We sure don't. So, okay, so here's free ride. So in addition to what Kaylin just said, so the winner of the free ride is going to get their face put on a P4P product. But in addition to that, so here's how it works. All pro overall winners, overall winner for your category, will get their names put in a drawing to win, get this, free transportation, hotel stay, entry and drug test fees for the 2019 competition. You get your name put in a drawing to get all of those things for free. Your flight, your hotel, all your entry fees. You are just showing up to defend your title. Okay? And then for all of the other pro overall champs that did not get their name drawn, so there's only one winner for the free ride. So for all of the other pro overall champs, you get your entry and drug test fees reimbursed that day. It's a win-win. And you are right, Sylvia, that is very crazy. So you get your name on a product, and we don't even have that. And we're preaching P4P products because they're good stuff, and that's the only reason why. And we don't even have that. So who knows what it's going to be. You could be on a protein container. You could be on BCAAs. You could be on pre-workout. You could be on creatine. I don't know what it's going to be, but you get your face on a container where thousands of people are ordering stuff all the time. You're going to be shipped across the U.S. Talk about some publicity for that athlete. All right, so that's the free ride. And then the other one was King or Queen of the Hill. Kaylin, lead us into that one.
Wow. And this is where you got to basically, as long as you're winning, you keep on winning, you keep on earning. And they are really spoiling the pros. I love this aspect of it. I love the whole thought process behind it. And this is just amazing where you keep winning, and as long as you keep winning, you keep winning some pro card money. And I love that whole aspect of it. And that, honestly, as a competitor, that's got to make you even more excited.
It is so exciting, you know, because it's great that as a pro, I mean, that's the perk of being the pro, right? That you can compete to earn cash prizes in addition to having the pro status. So that is cool.
Yeah.
And what is so amazing about the King or Queen of the Hill, as Kaylin indicated, so let's use Kaylin as an example. Say Kaylin wins his title in bodybuilding at P4P Undefeated, although he's going to be there on behalf of Midwest Muscle and P4P Real Talk, so he's not competing, but let's pretend that he was and he won. So if Kaylin comes back in 2019 and to defend his title and he wins, he's going to get a $500 bonus in addition to all the other cash awards and prizes that come along with winning a pro show. If he comes back in 2020 to defend his title a second time and wins, he's going to get a $750 bonus on top of everything else that he will have won. And if he comes back a third time, 2021, and does a three-peat, like Truman Ward, who has three-peated at,
Why did I go there?
Yes.
Olympia.
Right there. Olympia. There it is. What he said. Sorry, Truman. I had a brain fade, but yes. Truman was a three-peat, maybe even a four-peat by now. Is he a four-peat? Is it a three-peat?
He can.
It's a three-peat, I think. But anyway, if it's a three-peat, you're going to get a $1,000 bonus in addition to all the other cash awards and prizes that you will have won. But here's the caveat. If another pro comes along and knocks you off your hill, wherever you are in that sequence, they get that bonus. So, I mean, it's it's there to win. You are either going to win a title or defend your title, but it's anybody's game at this point, and everybody walks away with something who brings the A game that wins. I mean, that's
one of those things that goes with the free ride is that even if you're not competing, if you've represented that show, you don't have to pay the ticket to come into the venue because they're respecting what you've done in the past.
So awesome. So there it is.
Yeah.
All right. So those are the three mic drops. The two really main mic drops really are the King of the Hill and the Free Ride. And I want to see all of you guys out there. So come check it out. Even if you're not competing, you're going to want to be in that audience. You truly will. So start saving your pennies, put it on your calendar, and just plan to be there. Now, real quick, a couple of questions that we have left over from Tuesday that we didn't get a chance to answer. we'll throw these out there. So, Kaylin, one of the questions was, are P4P products WADA compliant?
Yes. Yes, they are, and they also have that. That was one of the biggest points of being third-party testing. But like JB and Joe have always said, Chad as well, is that they wanted the natural athletes to be able to take the supplements and still compete naturally. And that's one of the biggest foundations that they started with, and they've held true to it. And I'm very, very respectful of that because they've been very hard on themselves to ensure that that's always the supplements are always water compliant.
There you have it. So hopefully that answers that question. And then folks are wanting to know, where do they send entry information? Right now, if you want to get in touch with one of the three directly, go to www.p4pmuscle.com and hit the contact us button, submit your information there, or your questions, or let them know you're interested in receiving a registration form. That's one way. But they are very, very, very close to having the ticket and registration website, a full site for P4P Undefeated, ready to launch. And they're thinking that that should be up within the next week or 2 weeks at the latest. So that is coming. There will be more announcements coming. But right now, I would just direct everyone to p4pmuscle.com, hit the Contact Us button, send them your excitement, your name, your email, whatever contact information they need to get back to you once that site is up and going, and then they will follow up with you with all the appropriate links so you guys can go ahead and get registered. So send them, just be sure to send them your name now. And then they'll get back to you, and you guys can get your registration put in there. One last piece of information before we get to our show, and we are going to have I'm reading this question, and I got sidetracked. So before I move to my next point, a couple of questions. Yes, Bill, mic drop, jaw drop, you're right. Our jaws, Kaylin and I, on the floor, dropped all the way around. Is the drug testing going to be WADA compliant as well? Shelly, that's a great question. The last time we had spoken with the boys at P4P Muscle, they were still working out the details in finalizing who their drug testing partner is going to be. Kaylin and I do not have that information at this moment, but we do know that JB, Joe Manning, are planning to be on the show here again in the near future, either the end of this month or early February. And hopefully we'll get an update from them on that area as well. But we do know that they're taking that aspect of the program very seriously. And so we just got to wait to see the partner that they've chosen after all their screening. Any other thoughts on that, Kaylin?
Well, if one thing's for sure, the drug test will be sent in, and you will get notification that your drug test was completed, and you will be verified if you passed or failed. So, you know, that, and I know that's been a big thing this year. We're not going to sit there and try to jump around the box. We're going to basically address the elephant in the room. And it will be on the WADA standard. I know that's one of the big things they've always been preaching about. So if it's going to be up there, yes, it's going to be WADA. I can say that with all kinds of respect and knowing that that's the way it's going to go, because that's one of the things they've been trying to get is everybody on the same page
And if you're not going to go for the high standard, then you're going for the low standard. And I know they want to stick with WADA. So, you know, it's going to be sent in. You will get notification that it was sent in, and you will get the results. It won't just be somebody saying you passed or failed. And I, like I said, I know this is something that's been a big issue for the past, what, 3 years, Dan? So we're not ignorant of it, and we're very mindful that this is one of the things that the competitors have truly been speaking on. So it's not like it's been missed.
And there you have it. So we'll get the confirmation on all of that from the boys themselves in the coming weeks. And
yes.
Speaking of coming weeks, we've got a little bit of a shift in our schedule. So January 18th, we are actually going to be participating with our sister, Melinda Spencer, Fit Talk with Melinda at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, which, yes, it is our normal show time, but we are helping spread the love with her. So we are bumping up Real Talk to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time on January 18th, which is a Thursday. And then we're going to be doing a back-to-back show with Melinda at 7 p.m. So update your calendars. If you dial in at 7 on our normal line, you won't find us. We'll be with Melinda, but we will be there at 6 o'clock. So the normal dial-in number will work, and also we'll be putting out our link that shows the 6 p.m. start time as well. So just watch for those things on social media. And with that, you know that we have covered several natural bodybuilding organizations. We've had representatives from the NGA, DFAC, NAMBF, IPE, OCB, NABBA. I'm probably missing some, but those are the ones that popped to mind. But tonight, we're actually having a completely new organization on the show with us, and I'm not even sure why we haven't had them on sooner. I don't even know, but I am totally thrilled. And with that, we are having, or we have on the show with us, Mr. Martin Drake. And he is pretty much the chairman of, I'm just going to say all things. Martin's going to give us the true lowdown on what he does, but I think he pretty much does all of everything for the AAU. So, Martin, if you will say hello to listener land and just give us a little intro into yourself and also the Amateur Athletic Union, a.k.a. AAU, and let us know what you guys are all about.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so very much. I am the national chairman of AAU Strength Sports. That has me. I'm a volunteer chairman for a group of athletes that is a subset of the overall Amateur Athletic Union. The Amateur Athletic Union actually started in 1888, so we are celebrating the 130th anniversary of it. It is a small organization of 1.1 million athletes. We created the sport of bodybuilding competitions in 1938. Had the very first Mr. America in 1939, created the sport of powerlifting in 1964, went on to be the major forming partner of the International Powerlifting Federation in 1972, and then up until 1978, the AAU was actually the national governing body for every sport to the Olympics. In 1978, Jimmy Carter got the National Sports Act passed, and so out of AAU membership, we created USA Boxing, USA Basketball, USA Track and Field, USA Baseball, USA Volleyball, USA Gymnastics, etc., and then we went multi-sport. We kept AAU bodybuilding until 1999. In 1982, we decided to go drug tested. That is when a number of people left and created the National Physique Committee. In 1999, we actually made the decision to close down bodybuilding for a while. And so I've been involved myself since 1962 with weightlifting, powerlifting since 1964, and bodybuilding since 1973. And as you said, we are the new guys back on the block. As of March this year, we decided to bring AAU bodybuilding back and bring it under AAU Strength Sports. And under AAU Strength Sports, we have bodybuilding, powerlifting, weightlifting, pizza strength, Moss wrestling, combines, and strongman.
Wow. And one of the biggest things you've been doing is trying to work within the group and bring people together, and that's very appreciative. What is that mindset that drives you to do that? And, you know, do you think that's going to happen?
It will happen, but it will not happen to the extent that some people would like to see it happen. There are, when I came back and started surveying the landscape, and I never really left, I actually was friends with a gentleman that has another organization for many years, and so I was on the periphery for a while. But when I came back, I saw a number of things that disturbed me. And basically, there were a lot of organizations that had popped up with the sole expectation of trying to make a lot of money and at any expense. And that's a sad thing because we are an inordinately small sport. As I try to remind people, if you took all the powerlifting organizations in the United States plus all the weightlifting organizations, plus all the bodybuilding organizations, plus all the strongman organizations, added them together, we become the 276th largest sport in the country with approximately 80,000 competitors. And have you ever heard of Ultimate Frisbee?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Okay. Do you realize that they have, across multiple organizations, 4.9 million competitors?
Wow. No, I would never have guessed that.
Right. So we're small. And we have spent the last 50 years trying to be small by having a number of what I would call fiefdoms around where everybody wanted to be the big fish in a little pond instead of getting this really wonderful big pond where we get huge multiple disciplinary participation and we get not 80,000, but how do we get 8 million people to get out there and do some type of competitive bodybuilding physique type of events at all levels and actually build a base. At that point, I think you have something pretty wonderful. So AAU has a slogan, which is sports for all forever. And that slogan, we're taking something very similar to it and trying to make sure that our sport has grassroots, because before you can have a top-level area and be able to have a situation where people can really make a living out of it, you have to have a sustaining base. And our goal is to provide a sustaining base. And you start by working with the organizations that are there, the people that are there, and see if you can get those people that are interested in truly growing the sport from the bottom up together. Those people that want to grow the sport, not the wallet, are the people that will help this grow. And so we've been reaching out to people that we believe fit that model. You mentioned the DFAC. We've also reached out to NPF. The people there have been exemplary people and people of character, and they have the desire to make this sport wonderful. And so we want to do collaborative efforts with them wherever possible.
And I think that is, I mean, that's just exciting to hear thinking along those lines because, you know, when you have individuals like Kaylin and I and so many that are part of the Natty Nation that truly want to see, and I know there's so much more to AAU, but from our perspective, you know, the natural bodybuilding community just really flourish. It's that line of thinking and ideology that, you know, just helps you see that the vision can happen or take place because there's more than one person who actually understands what needs to happen, even outside of bodybuilding, but what needs to happen within that sport and other sports in the strength arena, and particularly our interest in natural strength arena, to help it to grow, prosper, and to build that foundation. So it really is that something wonderful that you've been talking about for all the athletes that are coming up in the future and for those that are going to be with the sport for a long time. So, I mean, it's just such a rich history, and I have to admit that I mean, you hear AAU thrown around a lot, and you always associate that with, you know, elite sports groups, especially in my world as a mom for younger kids. You've got AAU basketball and soccer and, you know, all of these leagues, and they travel and they do all these things. And these are usually the really great athletes, younger athletes that are doing that. But I never really applied that to bodybuilding or even powerlifting now. And right. All of the strength disciplines that you have mentioned and that you've been a part of. So, I mean, I guess I feel like I need to apologize that we haven't, you know, had the AAU on our radar sooner, but I'm glad that you're here now and you're able to bring us all up to speed on the opportunities that are available to natural athletes through your organization. So It's a pleasure to be here.
It's absolutely a pleasure to be here. No apology necessary. One of the things that we need to do a better job of, not only AAU strength sports, but the strength sports in general, is we need to be able to educate people. And I tell people you have to go back in history to know where you're going. And if we could provide people a historical look and perspective of where the sport started, where it's been, and where we can take it, it's good. You mentioned the growth of the sport. I look at it slightly differently. If you look at where the sport is in 1978, where we had a single organization, the total of the 54 organizations that exist today are approximately 60% of the size of a single organization 40 years ago.
Oh, wow.
So the sport of bodybuilding is significantly smaller than it is, despite the large size of an organization that we all know of that's predominantly an untested organization.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot of room for growth. There were times when
definitely
major events were televised on the big three networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, yearly. We're a long ways away from that, but we can get back to it.
Yes, we can surpass it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I think that's a great place to be. Goals, folks, goals. And we haven't had our goal-setting show yet, but that's coming too. But to keep us on track, we already have some listener questions that are piling up on us, Martin, so I want to go ahead and start to share some of those with you. One of them is directed towards your history in particular. Jake is wanting to know if you have ever competed and do you prefer bodybuilding or powerlifting?
Let's see. Yes, I've done a little powerlifting. I've been blessed to win 44 world championships. I hold 468.
Oh, my gosh, just a little.
468 world records. I did bodybuild from 1973 to 1995, did 168 shows.
Wow.
Wow. You know, sometimes you just got to let it sink in. So
yes.
While we let that sink in, it kind of does segue a little bit to our next question, but I know we're going to end up coming back around to the stat you just shared. But Sarah is wondering, what is the charm that powerlifters and bodybuilders share?
Oh, I think it's a desire to be the best we can given the hands that we were dealt by God. You know, people talk about genetics. I have absolutely the worst genetics in the world. I stood in the wrong line for hours before I realized it was in the wrong line. And I've done the most with it. I think powerlifting, bodybuilding, any of these events are taking what you have, the hand that you've been dealt, and doing absolutely the most you can with it in an absolutely natural fashion.
So now I have to come back to all the stats you just shared with us, especially in light of what you just said about having the worst physical genetics, but yet you are an individual who holds all of these titles, and not just titles, but also world titles. So I guess just real quickly, step us through how in the heck you got started, and then just your motivation that progressed you to all of these successes that you have achieved.
So let's see, I was 11 years old and was living in Florida, and across the waterway, I lived blessed enough to live on a home on the water, was a guy about 17 years old, and Norbert Shermansky, who was an Olympic-style lifter, was his hero. And so I saw that, and I thought, wow, that's pretty amazing. And so I talked my parents into getting a 100-pound sear set of weights, the old plastic ones that had the concrete.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And then somebody saw me at age 11 doing presses overhead with 100 pounds and said, that's not possible. And so there was no age limit on Olympic-style lifting, but you competed open. So I started doing that. And then the very first powerlifting meets were held in 1964, and I jumped into that, but I had to lie about my age because you had to be 14, and I was 13. So that's the first lie I ever told. And got involved, and I loved it. But I started looking around and realized, hey, you know, when I started high school, I was 4 foot 10 inches tall and 88 pounds. Graduated from high school at 5 foot 10, 165, right? Not the best genetics. I'm not very tall today, but I got the wingspan of a guy about 6'5", the torso of somebody that should be about 2 foot tall. All the wrong genetics. And so I said, gee, I will never be the best physical athlete in the world, but if I can be the smartest athlete and absolutely perfect technique, then it'll work. And by golly, not only does it work, but I've been blessed to compete for 54 years without a single injury, either in training or on the platform. Okay? And it's because I took what God gave me, which was a good mind and a horrible body, and tried to figure out how to make the best out of that.
Wow. Now, you've got some years under your belt, so we can go back, and I'd like to talk about this because this is something, you know, a lot of people basically say since they can't do it, it can't happen or it can't be believable because, you know, I've never seen anything like this. But you can go back in the day, and I can as well, to when, you know, natural physiques were basically all around because, you know, people didn't really understand or just really go into the significance of what steroids were doing because it just wasn't a part of their life. So there was a look, there was a natural look and a natural appeal to that look. And to have physiques looking like they do now, people have fallen under the myth that it can't be a natural look. And all these guys that are looking like they're looking are women are using. And I found that very strange considering that, you know, people are so passionate and driven that they can basically attain what they want, and you're basically a living example of that. So when you hear people speaking against the natural lifestyle, basically because it's truly not natural, basically the winners aren't natural, everybody else is. So I find that
it's kind of an excuse for not really pushing mm-hmm. yourself, but it also makes me think that people just don't really understand how natural physiques and basically that look has been around for decades.
Absolutely. So want to make sure that people understand one of my thoughts based on a lot of data. The people that are most likely to be utilizing performance-enhancing drugs in an event that's a natural event are those that are not the very best competitors. The very best competitors, by and large, are people that are genetically blessed and work their butt off. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you go back and you were talking about the natural competitors, look back at a picture of Steve Reese in 1947,
yes.
71
yes,
years ago. And Steve was a very good friend of mine because we showed horses together for probably 35 years. Steve was about 6 foot tall. He got on stage years ago at about 210 pounds. Now, they're not as shredded as we see him today, but the man had a waist that was ungodly small, perfect
yes.
proportions, and looked phenomenal. I asked people, what champions do we have today that exceed his physique? Not his conditioning, but his physique 71 years later, and we struggled to pick a name.
With a waist that small, you'd be hard-pressed.
Correct. And so there are lots and lots of people you can point to over the years. One of my dear friends is a perfect example that lives the lifestyle. Many of you know who Sammy Sisk is.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And Sammy just turned 60 years of age. I have eight times. I tell Sammy I'm the only person that's been sober to him 8 times. Okay? Sammy has. Yep. So Sammy is an amazing athlete, just turned 60 years of age. He gets out of shape in the winter by maybe a pound or two.
Mm-hmm.
And he lives it. Now, it doesn't consume his life. It's
no.
a part of his life.
Yes.
But he's a class act that goes out there and lives that natural lifestyle, and there's nothing phony about it. And there's a man that has worked his tail off to be, I think, the best overall drug-free bodybuilder on the planet today when you take into account his age.
Mm-hmm. And I can basically second that because he was – I don't know if Coach Lorenzo still has the pictures, but when he and I shared the stage together and I was just so amazed by his physique that I was the guy with my mouth open and basically just staring at his physique. The only problem was I was competing against him, so you have the guy that should be looking in the camera looking at the guy standing next to him. So it's his physique is that phenomenal, and he carries himself that well.
He is that good. And you mentioned also one of the classiest, most wonderful people in the world in Lorenzo Gaspar. I've known Lorenzo since he was a teenager. So just one of the true fabulous people in this sport.
Agreed.
So my takeaway from all of this is, A, we need to have Sammy Sisk on the show, which we were already thinking about. B, yes, there are those natural competitors who are genetically blessed that just blow you away. But then you also have the competitors like Martin, who has said he was not genetically blessed but still worked his tail off and has a lot of success under his belt. So either way you go, you can achieve the results you desire if you're willing to go after it. Genetics, no genetics, we got it. So that's my takeaway. Plus we did some name dropping there. Go ahead, Kalen.
I'd like to say something because this is something that Martin has tacked on and we're basically been speaking on but not really hitting the nail on the head. And the one thing that I've learned in competition is there's the person that basically gets in there and says, you know, I'm going to give it my best. And then you have the person that basically always comparing himself to someone else and saying, I'll never look like this, that, and whatever. And basically with the mindset you take into it is what we're getting out of it. And I've seen it, you've seen it, and I'm sure Martin's seen it more times than he's willing to tell us. But that mindset can either help or hurt. And I think we have to address that sometime or another when we're talking about competition. Because if you're basically saying, I'll never anything, then you never will. And we need to have that mindset. And it does show on stage. It has shown when people are being placed in their respective positions from how they competed. And, you know, you can always see the telltale mannerisms. And if people like that are basically running the show, then the show is going to be running the ground. And that happens when they're allowed to keep getting on stage, behaving in that manner, or basically being allowed to be backstage and basically share that kind of negative nature as well. So, you know, that's one of the little things we need to look at. And, you know, the show, the sport is going to grow, and I'm sad to learn that we're basically having to get back to zero, because I'm very surprised when Martin shared that information, how much it was. I knew it was big, but I had no idea because, you know, I hadn't been into the history of it. But now I have to check more. And I go ahead, Dave.
Nope. I mean, and so there you have that. I'm actually at a point where I'm going to take us back a couple of comments ago to where Martin had said he had, thankfully, been able to make it through his career without being injured. And that's actually a question that we have from one of our listeners, Martin Thomas, wanting to know, how do we as athletes avoid injuries in these sports as the years add up?
So it's really simple. From day one on, it's been make sure your technique is absolutely precise. That's number one. Two, we have a tendency to way overtrain, believing that more is better. And I'm a big believer in the adage that less is more. So if you do those type of things, you keep it smart. You watch what you're eating. You don't go along with every little gimmick that's out there. I'm not a big fan of changing it up. People talk about muscle confusion. Well, the last time that I looked, and I'm a scientist, but a muscle doesn't have a brain, so it's pretty difficult to confuse it. But you certainly.
I'm sorry. I always laugh at that. Yeah.
I do too. I honestly believe that you can do things that are variations that will cause continual growth. But I've reached a point. I'm going to be 67 years old in February. A couple of my lifts are at the highest point that I've ever been.
Wow. And I love to hear that. Now, speaking of hearing things, did I just hear you say that you're a scientist?
I spent my career as a senior scientist at what's now called Boeing Satellite. It was used Space and Communications Group of used aircraft.
And there
so
you
yes,
go.
I was a rocket scientist.
So let's add that to his background as well, folks. There you have it. And you thought you could just sneak that one past us. Okay, here I'm going to digress because we're running short on time and we still got questions coming in, so we're going to move on. Okay, here's this question. How do you feel about bulking? Linda said her husband is reaching obesity and calling it bulking.
It's a wonderful euphemism for getting fat. I never believed that you could force feed muscle. Do you need to have times where you're not putting yourself through a depletion mode? Absolutely. But you build muscle through being rational, feeding the muscle correctly, not trying to overfeed, not trying to bulk too much. Natural athletes can't go up 40 and 50 pounds. God knows, if I look in the mirror right now, I know exactly how much I got to go down to get the stage, and it's frightening. But it wasn't through any particular desire to bulk up. I think we overplay that. When I was competing a lot, in all seriousness, my off-season weight might be 7-8 pounds heavier than my best competition weight.
There you go.
Yep. There you have it. So I don't know where that puts you, Linda, with your critical conversation with your husband, but there's another perspective on that topic for you. And now I'm going to move into a question that's more solemn in nature, I will say. This question is from Sheila, and she's wanting your perspective, Martin, on whether or not the rise in truly natural competitions will bring about a less drug-addicted nation. She has shared with us that she has two children that have seen their dads pass away from steroid use, and thank you so much for being that open to share that with us, Sheila, in asking your question. So, which again was, will the rise in truly natural competitions bring about a less drug-addicted nation, do you think?
You know what? I would sure hope so. But the problem is I can turn on a TV set and whether it's an ad for prescription medication, whether it's an advertisement for alcohol, whether it's now cannabis, for God's sakes, being advertised on, various mediums, we are actually going the opposite way. And there was an interesting statistic that was presented. I remember a show in 1991 that was talking about steroids and deaths. And the speaker said, 1965 is the year that we believe that steroids started to come into use in the United States in sports. And he said, here we are 26 years later. But the first Mr. America was 1939. 1965 was the midpoint, and 1991 was 26 years after that. His statistic was, this was 1991, every one of the Mr. Americas crowned between 1939 and 1965 were still alive. Of the Mr. Uh-huh. Americas between 1965 and 1991, one half of them were dead, and seven had committed suicide. Now, natural organizations came into this country, depends on who you believe, but it really was late 70s, early 80s, with a lot of people like Chet York and Jack O'Blenis type of people that brought it in. Today, I am seeing more early deaths from people for that. So I don't think bodybuilding is ushering in a new era. And so I don't think it's a sport that I don't think we want to put that burden on us. I think we as people need to start looking for long-term solutions for health, getting out, exercising, walking, getting away from the computer, eating healthy again, sending the kids out to play during the day. Those are the type of things that are going to get us healthy. Don't be on medication. The average 35-year-old woman in the United States is on 7 prescription medications. I'm 67. I don't use aspirin.
Mm-mm. I don't either. But the one thing, and because that is a lot of information to get from basically losing a husband and a father. But the one thing that I can definitely speak well upon is that the people that are healthy and fit have a positive nature about them, and it
Absolutely.
Usually doesn't involve. So you're not really having that drug-addicted conversation of what it takes to get you through the day. I think the most that I've seen a bodybuilder or a powerlifter speak upon is that coffee in the morning and or that Starbucks with the funny name that I can't ever pronounce. So, if we basically can get hold of the narrative and basically steer it away from the drug addicted talk. Like you said, we're indulged. I mean, we got a deluge of information about, you know, the side effects from this drug that's going to make you happy. And I find that confusing, to say the least. But then to come back and have it in the newspapers, in the social norms. I mean, you've got even ads popping up on Facebook now if you watch a video too long. So, you know, but the narrative can be steered in a better direction, and that is away from drugs, from people who just don't make it a part of their life.
Absolutely. 100%. Go out there, walk outside, enjoy the sunshine, do something, get in the gym, do something, go out and eat a nice meal that's healthy, get your endorphins in a different way. Living this wonderful life is so wonderful. Why would you ever want to go through a moment when your senses are dulled by a drug?
A good point to ponder. Good point to ponder. All right. We've got less than 10 minutes, and so I'm going to redirect. We need to get information out there for our natties who are interested in AAU competitions but may not have had this organization on their radar until now. And with bodybuilding in particular, they haven't had that opportunity for a couple of years. And so Jacob is wanting to know what region AA shows are going to be, where they can find more information, how do they get registered, or, you know, all of the above. And let's go ahead and talk bodybuilding and powerlifting.
Great. So let me give you kind of the commercial as we're going through it. So when you sign up for AAU Strength Sports, you either sign up under a powerlifting or weightlifting card currently, but it covers all six sports. Cards for kids are $14, and you have athlete insurance, accidental medical. Adults, they're $24. They provide accidental medical. The AAU is strongest currently on the West Coast, but we will be moving the bodybuilding portion of it again across the country. But we're going to do it carefully by making sure that we have people that we really believe are ethical, moral people running events for us. You can get a hold of information on our events several ways. There's a single porthole that has various web addresses, AAUpowerlifting.org, AAUweightlifting.org, AAUbodybuilding.org, AAUstrengthsports.org. All will take you to the same page. There are sanctioned events up there. There's a list of future events. Or they can email me anytime at naturalpower@earthlink.net. We have a number of incredible events coming up, including a major sports festival in April in Laughlin, Nevada, which is an hour south of Vegas. We're at a five-star resort hotel casino with $29 weekday room rates, $59 on weekends.
Wow.
We're going to have powerlifting, weightlifting, strongman, feats of strength, Moss, and our bodybuilding show. And our spectator fee is a whopping $10 a day. The bodybuilding will be in a 600-seat Vegas-style showroom. We are hosting our world championships there as well. We have a number of events already planned in Southern California, in Las Vegas itself. We've got four that are coming up in Seattle. And this is all with us being back less than 6 months. We had an event, our World Championships, in September, where we had, in one very large ballroom, the five major sports going on, and we brought in 733 athletes for that event. And people were able to come in and see powerlifting, weightlifting, indoor feats of strength, Moss, and the bodybuilding show, and we charged them $10 to see it.
Nice, very nice. I don't know, Kaylin, I'm thinking Vegas is a cheap flight.
Sounds
yes. And relative to drug testing, I want to share one other thing. We are, to my knowledge, currently the only third-party drug-tested organization in the country. We use the Center for Drug-Free Sports, which does the NCAA, MLB, NFL, NHL. And the reason you don't use USADA, obviously, is we're not a national governing body because our sport is not in the Olympics. But they do the third-party testing. They do a full panel test that is compliant to WADA. We do not recognize at this time TUE. And
you gotta say the name. That's gonna be confusing.
Therapeutic use exemptions.
Okay.
We recognize them relative things like if somebody had a heart medication and they're 75 years old, but we don't as far as testosterone treatments at this time. We got an endocrinologist that's gonna work with us and the USADA and WADA people to understand how best to look at that point. But right now we're starting at the point of being more conservative. And all of our tests are run through Salt Lake City, which is the WADA-approved lab.
There you go.
And we also do out-of-meat testing with a maximum notice of 12 hours.
Sweet.
I like that.
All right. I do. All good stuff. So very quickly, give us the rundown on the partnership that AAU has in place with DFAC.
Okay. Well, we actually have a partnership with a couple of people. And what we wanted to do is what I call it is a partnership of cooperation. And so with DFAC, for example, I got the honor of going there and judging their show in November and was absolutely blown away by many positive aspects of the organization and the people. And so, for example, at our events, the top overall male and female athlete at our event will be given DFAC Pro cards, and NPF has done the same thing as well. DFAC has also offered for our athletes to be able to come out and compete at the DFAC Worlds if they qualified by winning their class at one of our events. And
Sweet.
So we have just set up something that I've coined as our Triple Crown and Grand Slam of events. And so between NPF, DFAC, and AAU, we actually have three opportunities for world or international professional titles to be held in pretty wonderful touristy type of cities, such as Laughlin, Vegas, and Miami. And so I reported that out on my Facebook page. And then we have a grand slam of amateur events that starts with our Laughlin event. It goes to our Las Vegas event, our World Championships, and culminates with the DFAC Worlds. And so there's an opportunity for people to do multiple world events with organizations that have like-minded philosophies.
Very good. Love to see the cooperation going on there. Kaylin, any final questions before we get ready to sign off?
Hey, you know, if we're talking DFAC, I got to give a shout-out to my girl, Vicky. She busts her butt, and she's got a passion like nobody else. So I'll just throw that out there. Other than, you know, I would love to see us, Des and I, on her little chocolate way and my snickerdoodle. Guys, if you're thinking about it.
Oh, my. Very funny. So there you have it, folks. AAU. Opportunities are
like
there.
That.
We're short on time. I just got to move us on. But hashtag chocolate way for the win. So check them out. Definitely there in your neck of the woods. If you want to make it to any of the areas where they're prevalent, bodybuilders, powerlifters alike. I know we have a lot of crossing over going between those sports. So do that. And Martin, we just want to say thank you so much for opening up our world to the AAU. And we're going to definitely be keeping your eye on that. And I think I'm going to have to add the AAU to my goal list, to my vision board, but we'll have to see how that goes.
We would love to have you come out and join us. We have fun. Our whole goal is to have fun. And people can always reach me. I'm very willing to give my cell phone out, and I'll answer to any one of the crazy people that want to call me. And it's 310-953-5030. And if you don't mind getting your ear talked off, give me a call.
And there you have it. So on behalf of Martin, Kaylin, myself, and the boys from P4P Muscle, your body is a temple, so let's build it.
With Snickerdoodle.